What would you pay for the right to tell a pilot where to park? Apparently somewhere in the neighborhood of $10 billion. I'm Tower, and this is ATIS on Radio Hangar. Today we're going to talk about money, specifically a large amount of it flowing into the fixed base operator business. What that deal means for the industry. And why every pilot paying a ramp fee in this country should understand what just happened with Atlantic Aviation. But first, today's segment is brought to you by AviationSoul.com. Aviation Challenge coins built to mark the milestones, discipline, and pride behind every step in flight. From first solo to airline transport pilot, every coin tells a story. AviationSoul.com. All right, let's talk about FBOs. If you've been flying for any length of time, you have a feel for what a fixed base operator is, even if you've never stopped to define it precisely. The FBO is the business on the airport that provides the services pilots and aircraft need to keep moving. Fuel, parking, hangar space, ground handling, crew cars, tie-downs, weather briefing rooms with questionable coffee, and surprisingly good Wi-Fi. At smaller general aviation fields, the FBO might be a single-family operation that's been on that airport for 40 years, run by someone who learned to fly before GPS existed and who knows every regular by name. At a major metropolitan airport, the FBO is more likely a polished operation with uniformed line crew, a branded terminal that looks more like a boutique hotel lobby than an aviation facility, and a fuel price on the board that will make you do arithmetic in your head before you decide whether to top off here or push it to the next stop. The FBO business exists at every level of aviation, from the smallest grass strips in rural America all the way up to the busiest business aviation terminals in the world. And at the top of that market, the premium end, where the corporate jets park and the fractional operators fuel up and the charter operations run their ground logistics. That business is worth an enormous amount of money. This week, we got a very specific number for exactly how much. Atlantic Aviation, one of the largest fixed base operator networks in the United States, has entered into a new strategic partnership with funds managed by Apollo Global Management. Apollo, one of the largest alternative investment firms on the planet, has acquired what is being described as a significant interest in Atlantic. The valuation attached to this deal, close to $10 billion. Let that settle for a moment. $10 billion. For a company whose core business is fuel, parking, and ground services at airports across the country. If you fly primarily in the general aviation world, light aircraft, piston engines, weekend cross countries to a neighboring state, you might be wondering whether this affects you at all. The short answer is that it may not affect you directly, at least not immediately. But the long answer is more complicated. And the long answer is what I want to spend time on today, because the long answer tells you something important about the direction this industry is heading. First, let's establish who Atlantic Aviation actually is. Atlantic operates a network of FBO locations spread across major U.S. airports. Their footprint is concentrated in business aviation. They serve the turbine traffic, the corporate flight departments, the Part 135 charter operators, who depend on reliable, consistent ground services at the same locations week after week. If you've flown into a major hub airport and needed anything beyond a self-serve pump, there is a reasonable chance Atlantic has been involved in that transaction. Their main competitor at the national scale is Signature Aviation, which itself went through a significant ownership transition several years ago when Blackstone and Global Infrastructure Partners completed a takeover that moved Signature off the public markets and into private equity hands. Signature and Atlantic between them represent a substantial share of FBO capacity at the busiest airports in the country. And now both of those major players are operating under institutional private equity ownership. That structural shift is the thing worth paying attention to. Apollo Global Management manages several hundred billion dollars in assets across credit, equity, and what the industry calls real assets, things you can touch, things that provide essential services, things that have high barriers to entry and durable revenue. They are not an aviation company. They do not have a chief pilot. What they have is a disciplined investment thesis, and that thesis has increasingly pointed toward infrastructure assets, businesses that provide essential services with high switching costs and predictable cash flows. An FBO at a major airport fits that profile almost perfectly. The airport location is fixed, the infrastructure to replicate it is expensive and requires regulatory approval. Pilots who need services at a given airport have limited alternatives. The revenue is predictable across economic cycles because people who own corporate jets don't stop flying when times get tight the way leisure travelers do. From a financial engineering standpoint, it is an extremely attractive asset class. And that is almost certainly the lens through which Apollo looked at Atlantic. Now here's where the story gets more nuanced than the headline. private equity involvement in an industry does not automatically translate into higher prices and degraded service. That is the simplified version of the narrative, and it is not universally accurate. There are examples of PE-backed companies that brought capital discipline, operational expertise, and long-term investment in infrastructure that previous ownership structures couldn't support. Apollo's investment approach, particularly in what they classify as infrastructure, tends toward a patient model. They are not typically looking to acquire an asset, strip its costs, and flip it in 3 years. A $10 billion infrastructure investment with a long horizon thesis means the incentive is to preserve and grow the business, not to extract value at the expense of it. That distinction matters, but the structural reality of any large private equity investment also cannot be ignored. A $10 billion valuation has to be justified by earnings. Those earnings have to grow to deliver the returns the investment thesis requires, and the variables that FBO operators control to grow their earnings are the variables that pilots and flight departments experience directly: fuel prices, ramp fees, handling charges, ancillary service fees, the line items on the invoice when you settle up before departing. The fee structure at major FBOs has been a growing source of frustration in the business aviation community for well over a decade now. Ramp fees. Charges for simply parking your aircraft on the FBO's ramp, entirely separate from any fuel purchase, have increased substantially at many locations. Handling fees for services like ground power, lavatory service, and baggage cart have multiplied and diversified. Some FBOs have moved toward a model where the fuel transaction is almost secondary to the collection of service fees, which are harder to compare across operators and easier to obscure in the booking process. The Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association has engaged on this issue directly, pushing for greater transparency in how FBOs disclose their complete fee structure before aircraft operators commit to landing at a given facility. The National Air Transportation Association, which represents the FBO industry, has its own perspective on how that transparency framework should work. The conversation has been ongoing for years. Deals like the Atlantic Apollo transaction will give it new urgency and new political weight. Here is something worth understanding about the market access question at the airport level. At many airports, particularly controlled fields with limited ramp space and exclusive operating agreements, there is only one FBO on the field. One operator means no competition. No competition means no market pressure on pricing or service quality. The pilot who needs fuel and handling at a particular airport to complete a mission does not have the option of driving to the next fuel station the way a motorist does if a gas station is overpriced. You land where your mission requires you to land, and you pay what the one operator on that field charges. The Federal Aviation Administration and the Department of Transportation have jurisdiction over airport access arrangements. There are federal grant assurances attached to airports that receive federal funding, and those assurances require that airports maintain reasonable and non-discriminatory access for aviation users. Self-service fuel access has been one of the more contentious specific issues in this space. Larger FBOs have historically had incentives to limit or discourage self-serve fuel options on airports where they operate, because self-serve eliminates the higher-margin full-service transaction. These regulatory tools exist. They have legal standing. But the gap between what the rules permit and what the rules actively police in day-to-day practice is wide enough that operators in the market feel the difference. Let's zoom out for a broader picture of how we got here. The FBO industry has been a consolidation story for more than a decade, driven by the same economic logic that has concentrated ownership in many service industries. Capital requirements for maintaining a modern, competitive FBO facility at a major airport are substantial. Insurance costs have risen. Fuel supply agreements favor high-volume purchasers. The negotiating power that comes from operating a network of 40 or 50 locations across the country is orders of magnitude greater than what a single location independent operator can access. Independent FBOs have not disappeared, but they have lost ground at the top of the market. The fields where Atlantic and Signature compete directly tend to be the high-traffic airports where the business aviation money concentrates. And as both of those networks consolidate under institutional ownership, the independent operator's ability to survive on a shared field becomes more difficult. For the pilot who primarily operates into smaller regional airports and general aviation fields, the immediate impact of deals like this one is indirect. But the trend matters even there because the major FBO chains set the pricing and service expectations that shape the whole market. When the top end of the market normalizes certain fee structures, those structures eventually filter down. So what does a pilot or a flight department do with this information? The practical application breaks into a few areas. Know your alternatives before you go. flight planning software and FBO directory services give you comparison tools that did not exist a generation ago. You can look up competing operators on the same airport, check fuel prices in advance, read ratings from other pilots who have used that facility recently, and sometimes negotiate in advance for fuel pricing commitments on large purchases. A direct phone call to an FBO before you depart, stating your fuel need clearly and asking about their current pricing and fee structure, is entirely reasonable and often produces a better result than arriving uninformed. Understand your commitment point. Ramp fees, when they apply, are generally available if you ask before you land. The time to have that conversation is during your pre-flight planning, not after you've shut down and the line crew has already positioned your aircraft and connected ground power. Some FBOs waive ramp fees entirely with a qualifying fuel purchase. Others do not, and the threshold varies. Knowing the policy in advance is simply part of the pre-flight. Consider the independent operators. There is a category of FBO outside the major national chains, locally owned, airport-specific, often with fuel prices that reflect lower overhead and an owner who is personally motivated to earn your return business. These operators are not always going to be at the airports where your mission takes you. But when they are a viable option, choosing them strengthens the competitive landscape that keeps the chains from having unlimited pricing power in those markets. And engage with the advocacy organizations working these issues. AOPA, the Experimental Aircraft Association, the National Business Aviation Association, and NATA all have active voices in the regulatory conversations that shape how FBO markets operate. The pilot community is not without influence in this landscape. It is, however, a community that has to show up in those conversations to make its preferences known. The Atlantic Aviation deal with Apollo Global Management is at its core a business story. A significant piece of a $10 billion valuation has changed hands, and a company that has been a fixture of the business aviation landscape for decades enters a new chapter of its ownership history. That story will take years to fully develop. The specific deal structure will shape how Atlantic operates day to day. The competitive response from Signature and from independent operators will matter. Regulatory attention may emerge if market concentration reaches a threshold that draws scrutiny from the DOT or from Congress. But the direction of travel in the FBO industry is not ambiguous. The premium end of the business is consolidating under institutional ownership with institutional return expectations. The economics driving that consolidation are rational from the investor's perspective and complicated from the operator's perspective. For the pilot standing in front of the fuel price board on the FBO wall, that tension is not abstract. It shows up in the invoice information. For today's segment comes from Flying Magazine, more at radiohanger.com. I'm Tower. Watch your fuel. Safe skies.